Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
9:03 in the a.m. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on this Manic Monday. Joining us right now from the Draft Network, he is Trevor Sycamore. What's going on, Trevor?
Hey, guys. Appreciate you having me on.
Thank you for your time. Listen, man, we'll talk Ravens. We've been talking Ravens drafts since for months now, but I notice I watch your grades, and I take them very seriously because I think you're right on top of things. Your lowest grade in the draft, unless I missed something, was a D. And that lowest grade went to three teams that are quite typical, to be honest with you. The Los Angeles Rams, who have proven that they don't care about the draft. The Las Vegas Raiders, who proved that they can't draft. And the Dallas Cowboys, the Dallas Cowboys. Those are your three lowest grades, a D.
Yeah, I mean, those three teams, I just don't know how much better they got at the draft weekend. You know, I look at the Cowboys, and there's players to like that they brought in. I love Micah Parsons. He's a top 10 player in the class for me. There's a reason to get excited about Kelvin Joseph.
Right.
Getting Jabril Cox in the fourth round, I think, is great value. But I felt like Dallas had a lot of major needs, especially on the defense side of the ball, and I don't really think they addressed them, especially a cornerback. And, yeah, okay, they bring in a handful of linebackers, and they say, all right, we want to bring up the linebacker depth in our room. Didn't give Leighton Vander Esch his fifth year in his rookie contract. Probably not happy with Jalen Smith. Get to get out of his contract after next season if they wanted to. But that's getting ahead of those needs that you had. You still got major needs in the secondary and a corner. And I just felt like Dallas Cowboys panicked. You know, when J.C. Horn and Patrick Surtain went off the board at 8 and 9, and then Dallas is sitting there at 10, I thought they panicked. I thought they had no idea what to do after that. They go in and they take Michael Parsons. They say after the draft, oh, you know, we had Michael Parsons above those two corners on our boards. I don't believe that. I don't believe they would have taken Michael Parsons over those two corners. And so, yeah, it's a draft where you kind of come away with it. And you just go, man, did Dallas really get better after draft weekend? I don't really think they did. Los Angeles Rams, that one was the biggest shocking one to me, because how do you draft a 145-pound wide receiver when you got needs on both ends of the trenches and with your first pick in the second round? I just don't. How did they get to this point? How did they think that that was the best route to go with their team? Wide receiver is the deepest room they have. Wide receiver is where they have the most options, and they draft a guy who is clearly an outlier with measurables. I mean, we sit here and we talk about Devontae Smith weighing 165, 170 pounds. Well, Tutu Atwell is about 150. You know, and they've already got Deshaun Watson or Deshaun Jackson on the roster, who plays the exact role that Tutu's going to play. Yeah, of course, Deshaun Jackson's getting older. He's not going to be around forever. But how did this pick really make the Rams any better? And then the rest of their draft after that was just pretty mad. You mentioned the Raiders. It's just what the Raiders do. They've got their own draft board. They've got their own process of evaluation, and it's not very common. It's not something that a lot of other teams and analysts kind of stand by. And so anytime you really step back after draft weekend and look at who the Raiders were able to haul in, you go, okay, I guess. And that's kind of where I am with the Las Vegas Raiders. There are some players on the list you like. Alex Leatherwood can be a nice offensive tackle. Trayvon Merrick is a good safety, but overall it was just a strange group, especially how they came about being on their team.
What about the Ravens now? Looking at, like, I mean, they had glaring needs going in. I mean, it's a good team, so you don't need a lot. But you need some glaring need wide receiver, you need edge rushing, and then the interior line. They got Bateman, Owe, and Ben Cleveland. How would you rate the Ravens draft?
This is one of my favorite drafts. And, you know, this is a team that 2 years ago, they go 14-2. They've got the MVP. They're running the ball down everybody's throat. They're imposing their will on every single team. They get in the postseason, and I think you can just tell that the lack of postseason experience from some of the new guys that were along the team, it really came back to bite them, and the Tennessee Titans were able to get the best of them. This last year, yeah, there were some ups and downs, but you figured that would be the case, right? Because you're looking at an offense that was remaining kind of the same and lost a couple of big players and you say, all right, so there's a little bit of back and forth in what they're able to do, but the Ravens are still close. Like, all that to say, like, the Ravens still have that core that went 14-2 the year before. They still got the players there. They still got the coaches there. And going into this offseason, I really thought, of course, pass rusher, right? Losing Matthew Judon and losing Yannick Ngakoue. They need to upgrade there. They kept Tyus Bowser, which is good, but then they go and get OA at the back end of the first round. I thought that was fantastic there. Rashad Bateman and Tylan Wallace, the two wide receivers that they added, perfect. Just the perfect players for what they want to do. When you look at the Ravens' offense over the last 2 years, they were either throwing to the tight ends or the wide receivers. And when I put it to you that way, and I make a stark difference between those two, because that's what it feels like. Anytime they were throwing to receivers, it was to the outside, it was to the sideline, it was vertical, nothing over the middle, nothing easy. It was just trying to get the most out of that speed deep down the field, or it was to the tight end in contested catch over in the middle of the field situations. There was no marriage between the two, and I really feel like when you look at Rashad Bateman, how incredible he could be with those short yardage kind of routes, guy who can go over the middle, guy who can do all kinds of slants for you, play from the slot. This is the guy who's really reliable. And then Tylan Wallace, one of the best contested catch wide receivers in all of college football the last 3 years. And these are two players that give the Ravens passing offense something that they didn't have previously. And I really do think that it rounds out what they're trying to do on offense there as well. Plus, you throw in guys like Ben Cleveland and Ben Mason, who I think are to a T the exact types of players that the Ravens wanted to add. I absolutely love the Ravens draft. It was one of my favorite when it came to the talent they acquired and fitting the team, how they're gonna work out for them.
Who were some of your favorite players in the draft? Like, for me, if I were going to push my eggs all in one basket in 5 years, I think Ja'Marr Chase is a guy that we're definitely going to be talking about in the upper echelon of wide receivers. But do you have a couple of guys that really stood out to you before the draft?
Yeah, I mean, you know, the obvious one is the Kyle Pitts one. And I think that every time you ask anybody around the NFL, hey, if you had to bet your house on somebody in this draft class becoming a Hall of Famer, I feel like most people would tell you that Kyle Pitts is a guy. I think that he just gives you the safest bet there. You know, I'll say this name because I really liked him as a prospect, and I love what the Jets did, but I'll say Elijah Barrett Tucker as well, and I wanted to highlight that just so I could highlight the move. Sometimes, you know, you look at moves and you go, okay, Jets moved up from 23 to 14 to go get a guard. How is that good? They give up two third-round picks to go up and get a guard. Why is that good value? Why are you doing that there? You can get a guard in the third round. You can get a guard every single year. So why in the world did this make sense for the Jets? I hear that argument, and I get it. Having proper valuation of every individual pick is important, and you want to operate with value in mind for most of your selections. You want to draft positions that will give the biggest impact for your team the higher you are in the draft. However, there are instances where it is logical to break away from that a little bit to go up and get your guy, go up and get a guy that will help your team. And so Elijah Barrett Tucker, the very versatile offensive lineman from USC, he can play interior at left guard next to Mekhi Becton. He can kick out the right tackle if they ever need him to. Those are two names that, you know, kind of immediately stood out to me as, man, I love their selection there. I love their fit, and I love what they're going to be able to do for their teams. Of course, there's the quarterbacks that you love. I love Justin Fields, Trey Lance, Trevor Lawrence, Zach Wilson. They're going to be fun quarterbacks to watch over the next couple of years. But outside of those guys, those are the few that come to mind that I'm really going to enjoy watching.
There he is. Hey, man, love it. Trevor Sycamore from the Draft Network. Tell folks in Baltimore about the Draft Network.
Yeah, appreciate that, man. Draft Network, look, if you're looking to learn about whatever you want to know, what team needs are, what their situations are, the prospects that you just drafted. We've got 400 scouting reports, over at the Draft Network. They break every prospect down, trade by trade, athleticism, size, what they bring to the table, what kind of offenses and defenses that they would fit well in. You can see it not just for the guys that the Ravens drafted, but everybody in the division as well. You can learn about those players. If you're a big Madden person, you can learn all about the players that you're going to utilize in Madden the next upcoming year. I mean, we got it all over at the Draft Network. Whatever you want to know about a prospect, I promise you, we got it on there for you.
You are the man. Thanks a lot, man.
Appreciate you guys having me.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.